John 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sakes, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sins. Sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young. Well, as we come to the closing verses of chapter 15, and of course into the opening verses of chapter 16, we have brought before us, first of all, in verse 17, the commandment of the Lord. Of course, that may raise a question. Why would the Lord command those disciples to love one another? And then, of course, from verse 18 down to verse 25, we have the characteristics of the world. In verse 19, the world will love its own. In verse 25, says the Lord, they hated me without a cause. So the character of the world is both one of love and one of hatred. And then we find within that section, verse 22 and 24, there's the condemnation of the world. For the Lord, if I had not come, they had no sin. If I had not done, they had not no sin. And so you see, in this section of chapter 15, the Lord is just bringing before us the characteristic of the world in which we live. And then we have in verse 26, we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. I will send another comforter who will testify of me. And in verse 27, ye also, who've been with me from the beginning, will bear witness. So we have the double witness in verses 26 and 27, the witness of the Holy Spirit and the witness of the disciples. And then in the opening verses of chapter 16, we have the future comfort in light of what they will pass through. As the Lord said unto them, ye will remember I told you these things. So we have this interesting section in which the Lord Jesus Christ continues his discussion with, or his discourse with his disciples. Now, verse 17, he says, now I have commanded you. These things are written that I have commanded you to love one another. Now, why would it be necessary for the Lord Jesus to command them to love one another? Well, back in chapter 13, after the washing of the disciples' feet, etc., the Lord said to them that they were to love one another as he had loved them. For if a man laid in his life for his brethren, Therefore, we have the extent of one's love. Now he says, but I command you. I take it possibly the thought would be this, that within your heart and mine, as within those disciples, they still had the flesh. God had dealt with the sin question, but the flesh is still with us. And the problem with the flesh is that sometimes, no, we can become jealous or envious or that kind of thing. And so against that background, I just want to suggest to you, the Lord commanded the disciples to love one another. Then why? Why was it necessary for them to love one another? Not like chapter 13, as I've loved you, which went to the extent of laying down one's life for the brethren. But what does he say here, this command to love one another? Because of the character of the world in which they lived. We find that the Lord Jesus said, I have chosen you out of the world. But of course, the world is seen in different ways as far as the scripture is concerned. You see, there's the world, the universe. And then, of course, there's the world of humanity. And then, of course, is the world dealing with its world system as alienated from God. And so when the Lord said unto them, I have chosen you out of the world, he did not mean he'd taken them out of the world altogether. For they were in the world. That is the material world. And they were in the world as the world of humanity. But what the Lord had done, he had chosen them out of that world, whose ways and means were altogether in alienation from God. And so we find the world system is the system from which the Lord had chosen these to go out of the world. But having chosen them out of the world, he did not leave them out. They were in the world, but they were not of the world, as you no doubt heard many a preacher say before me. And so we find then we have in from verse 18 right down to verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ reminding this, what I call the inner circle, these 11 disciples, that there was another world. See, in chapter 13, there was a world in which they could enjoy the Father's love and share the Father's joy. That was the world which was theirs. But now the Lord is saying there's another world, a world altogether different, a world that's marked by love, but a world that's marked by hate. And so he brings before them now that he has actually chosen them out of that particular world that loves its own and hates those who are not its own. So verse number 18, we read,
if the world hate you, you know that it can hate you.
Isn't it interesting? If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the Lord Jesus Christ is just reminding these disciples, although they're going to be in a world, after he's gone back to the Father, he's going to leave them in a world that hated, that will hate them. But they are to remember, in spite of the hatred of the world toward them, that they first hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you have in verse number 25, they hated me without a cause. There was no cause at all, as far as the Lord Jesus was concerned, for the world to hate him. But that's the character of the world. It still is the character of the world. And the world in which you and I live, remember, it hates. And it hates because it hated first our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the world. And then in verse number 19, we read,
if you were of the world would love his own.
There's an interest. If you were of the world. You see, you take them out of the world. But they were still there in that world with this system of things, or altogether alienated from the purposes of God. There he says, you see, being in that kind of world, and if the world
the world would hate his own, but because
see, the Lord,
of them.
The world would love his own, but you see, that indicates straight away the love of the world is what we might call a selfish love. It only loves those that are its own. But see, these disciples were no longer of the world. The Lord said, I have chosen you out of the world. And because they were chosen out of the world, they become, or they will become, the subjects of the world's hatred. And so the Lord wants these disciples to understand, and of course us. For these 11 disciples would represent believers of this present day. We live in the same kind of a world. And the Son, the world still hates. And so he's just preparing these disciples for what will be their experience when he has gone back to the Father. And so verse number 19, it does continue.
But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
You see, the word persecutes those who have been chosen out of the world. Says the Lord, because first of all, they persecuted me. And sometimes we forget. Those years the Lord Jesus spent in the world, the world persecuted him. And the world hated him. And on that basis, he says, don't be surprised if you find the world hating you. And if you find the world persecuting you. And so we have this very interesting discussion of the Lord Jesus with his disciples in relation to that period of time when he has gone back to the Father. So verse 20, it says this.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not...
Isn't it interesting? He said, now remember the words that I spoke unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. You see, that's what he said in chapter 13 and verse number 16. After he'd washed the disciples' feet, he said, now set before you an example. And he said, we're to wash one another's feet. But if we were to refuse to do that, we set ourselves up as Lord. But he said, no. He said, you are my servants. And the servant is not greater than the Lord. So if they hated the Lord, they will hate you. If they persecuted the Lord, they will persecute you. And seeing as the Lord washed your feet, ye shall be willing to wash one another's feet. In other words, just to help and encourage one another in this kind of a world in which we now live. And so the next verse will remind us.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
Why is it that we're the subjects of the hatred of the world? Now says the Lord to these disciples, all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. In other words, that simple expression means our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're identified with all that his name means. And because we're associated and identified with Christ in this world, it brings out the hatred of the world. And so the Lord reminds these disciples. He wants them to remember what they're going to experience after he's gone back to the Father is nothing new. He's been through it before. They hated him. They persecuted him. And now because they've identified themselves with him, because of his name's sake, they're going to be persecuted by the world. So that takes us through those opening verses of this part of the discourse. But in verse 21.
Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
That's right. Now the bit I want of that verse is, why does the world hate us? Because they do not know, said the Lord, him that sent me. So you see, the character of the world is not only that it only loves its own. Its love is selfish. But they do not know. Their knowledge, they had no knowledge of him that sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the character of the world is this. They do not know God. And it's still true. The world in which we live, it does not know God. It does not know the God who sent the Lord Jesus, but actually, they do not know God. And so the Lord reminds his disciples of these different characteristics of the world in which they will live and bear testimony for him after he's gone back to the Father. So we come then to verse 22.
If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin.
And he says, if I had not come to them and spoken unto them, so the Lord now reminds his disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had come. He'd come into the world. And we find that having come into the world, he spoke unto them the words that he had heard from the Father. And so we find in verse 22, this great truth of the Lord coming into the world. And when he was here, the words that he spoke were the words of his Father. And so we find that the world of his day, when they listened to the Lord Jesus Christ and the words that he had to say, there was a revelation in those words, not only of himself, but of God who had sent him. So he says, now if they will not hear the words that I say unto them, having come into the world to bring them those very words. Now, then he says, if only they had listened, if only they had received my words, if only they had responded to my words, then they had not sinned. In other words, their sin was this: they believed not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they were not prepared to practice the words that the Lord Jesus spoke unto them. Had they been willing, then the Lord said they had not sinned. But of course, because of their sin of, well, shall we say, rebellion, refusal to obey, that was their sin. And therefore that sin remained with them. Now says the very next verse, verse number 23, just adds a bit more to that.
He that hateth me hateth my father also.
You see, to hate the Lord Jesus Christ, says the Saviour, is also to hate my Father. And so this world that hates the Christians, they hate the Christians because first they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, they hated the Father. For you see, it was the Father who sent him. I and the Father are one, said the Lord Jesus Christ on another occasion. So to hate the one is to hate the other. And so the Lord Jesus Christ reminds these disciples of these straightforward truths in relation to the character of the world. But now in verse 24, he goes one step further.
If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin.
You see, if I had not come among them, not now just as coming into the world, that he might speak unto them the words he'd heard from his Father. But he said, now, if I'd not come into the world and done these works that no other man had done. So now he's not referring to the words of his Father. It's now his works. And by the words and works of the Lord Jesus Christ that he did, which were the words and works of his Father, we find they had no knowledge of God. They had no knowledge of the Father, for the very words and the very works was but the words and works of the Father who sent him. And so we find the condemnation of the world is just their sin of not responding to the witness and testimony of the words and works of the Lord Jesus remained with them. Had they responded to the Lord and to his words and works, then they had not sinned, but they didn't. And so their sin remained with them. And so we find there's a condemnation of the world in verses 22, 23, and 24. Now, in verse 25, he simply reminds those disciples, they hated me without a cause. Now, in Romans chapter 3, we read we're justified freely. That word freely is exactly the same word, without a cause. Just as God justified us without any cause in us for him to do so. Then we find the world hated the Lord Jesus without any cause whatsoever to do so. Therefore, they had no cloak for their sin. They had no pretense. Such was their attitude to the Lord. It left them without any cloak whatsoever. Their sin is open. Their sin is revealed. Their sin is exposed. And so the Lord, he just reminds these disciples of these things in these verses from verse number 18 to verse 25. We look at verse 26. He now introduces us to the Comforter. The verse, Beryl?
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Now then, the Lord Jesus Christ just brings before these disciples that when he goes back to the Father, he actually is going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's an interesting word because when you come to the Epistle of John, that same word is translated advocate. And so we find that whether we think of the Lord as the advocate or the Comforter, my simple way of enjoying that is this. In the Gospels, these disciples needed comfort. They were going away. And he was going away, and their hearts were sorrowful. They needed comfort. So he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. But when you're in his epistle, 1 John chapter 2, in relation to the subject of sin, he's the advocate. And so the Lord said, I'm going to, another Comforter will come. And he said, I will send him, and he will proceed from the Father. So we have these different words. The Spirit of God will come, and he will be sent, and he will proceed, indicating to us that both the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father were one in the sending forth of the Comforter for the benefit and blessing of these disciples, but now that the Holy Spirit might witness unto Christ in the kind of world of which the Lord has been describing in those earlier verses. So one reason why the Holy Spirit was sent as a Comforter was that he might bear witness, testify of the Lord Jesus Christ to the very world of which he has been speaking. So we find one reason why the Spirit of God was sent. He was sent that he might testify of Christ. But then you might raise the question, as well might I, how does the Holy Spirit testify of Christ in the world? Well, it says, verse 27.
And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
There it says, he now refers to the disciples. Ye also bear witness. I take it then that the Holy Spirit and the disciples have the responsibility of bearing witness unto the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take it then, it's the Holy Spirit, by means of the disciples, that there was a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And so we find that there was this twofold witness, the Spirit of God and the disciples. And so there was a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And the verse concludes,
Because you have been with me from the beginning.
Now, why should these disciples be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, says the Lord, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what beginning? What beginning is the Lord Jesus Christ referring to? Well, I tell you, of course, it was the beginning of his public ministry. That was when those disciples heard the words, witnessed the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when they came to know him. And so from the beginning of his public ministry, those 3.5 years that he worked and spoke among them, they were blessed and they were privileged to have heard from the beginning of his public ministry these things of which the Lord had been speaking of. So we find that the Holy Spirit would be sent, and through these disciples who had been with him from the beginning of his ministry, a testimony will be born unto the world concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see we've got the commandment of Christ in verse number 17, and then we've got the character of the world in verses 18 to 25, and then we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the disciples of Christ in the world in those closing verses. Now, chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, continue the subject. For says verse 1 of chapter 16,
These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended.
you see, these things have I spoken unto you. Why? That ye may not be offended. That is, that ye may not stumble. He did not want these disciples, when these things happened, the hatred and the persecution of the world became real in their experience. He did not want them to be offended. He did not want these things to stumble them in their faith. And so we have in that opening verse, and so from in verses 2 and 3, he continues.
They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time
Yeah.
cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service.
There is an interesting. The Lord now, he tells the disciples what is going to be their experience. Number one, he said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. And number two, them that killeth you think they do God service. Now then, that expresses to us, does it not, the omniscience of the Lord Jesus. Before ever these things happened in the experience of those disciples, he knew. He knew just what would happen. And therefore, out of his omniscience, he reminds his disciples what would be their experience. Put out of the synagogue. Now, for a Jew to be put out of the synagogue, that was really a drastic thing. See, the synagogue represented their fellowship. And of course, the social gatherings with others, as well as the religious side of things. So to be put out of the synagogue would really mean they would be cut off from fellowship, from communion, from all the things associated with other Jews in relation to the synagogue. But not only that, he said, those who will kill you will think they do God's service. And so he reminds them, there will not only be persecution, but actually there'll be martyrdom. And those who would be responsible for their martyrdom would think that they were doing God's service. And so verse 4 concludes.
But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you.
Now then, why didn't the Lord tell them these very things when they first were associated with him? He said, I've told you now, because you've been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you before. Why? Simply because they would never have understood. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he just reminded, I did not tell you before, but I've told you now, so that when these things happen, you will remember I told you beforehand. In other words, he was given to those disciples the assurance that he was, after all, the omniscient God. He was very God, having become truly human. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his true humanity, having gathered those disciples around him, he now had instructed them with regard to loving one another, the character of the world in which they would witness for Christ, and also to remember he could not tell them these things before, but now he's told them that they might not be offended or stumbled when they pass through these experiences of persecution and martyrdom. And so we'll pick up next week and see what chapter 16 has to say to us as the subject changes at verse 5 and brings to a conclusion this discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples that really began in chapter 13. So we trust now that God will bless his word, and what we've been able to say would have been a help to you all.